ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam she'asah l'kol sorhi. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who provides me for all my needs and us for all our needs. And that's what Tabernacles is all about. His provisions for his own. The first time is when he provided all their needs in the wilderness. And we want to welcome you to the Shofar Ministries Hour live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as the World Wide Web, WHKWradio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today, with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. Now, if you're driving, you might later want to go back, go to Shofar's website, shofarministries.net, later this week, and re-listen and take some notes, because every program has good insights you will want to remember for your knowledge enhancement that as believers, God expects us to pursue with diligence. Let's go to our Abba Father in Heaven in prayer first before we get started today. Our Father in Heaven, we thank you and praise you for this happy time and season. You are our God and you provide us for all our needs. We want to lift up those of us that have written in and called with their prayer requests for finances, for sickness, for everything that's facing your body of believers today. We hold them up to you, Lord, for your healing today. And we ask all this in the name of Yeshua, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John, and Shabbat Shalom on the special Sabbath.
Hey, Shalom Shabbat.
And the first day. Now, are you going to catch me on that?
I'm going to catch you the first day? No.
No.
We're not at the first day. I think we're at the seventh or the sixth.
Right. Today is the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles.
Okay, the last day.
And today we're going to talk about the anniversary of what the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles is, and that is Jesus's circumcision. Born on the first day of Tabernacles. He would have been
circumcised on the eighth day.
That's what we're going to be talking about, the eighth day. And also, we're going to talk about this is going to be really meat for people.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're one that doesn't like meat, you might not want to listen to this program. But
in other words, we're going to go deep into the scriptures today,
right,
probably
you.
Deeper than you would normally care to go. But
to show you. That you really can't figure out when Jesus was born.
So you really can't figure it out.
Oh, yeah, right, yes. through the Word of God. But first, mm-hmm. I'd like to mention that tonight is Shofar Assembly, and to remind people that we meet on the second and fourth Saturdays of every month at 6:30 sharp.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight is we will be celebrating again the final day of Tabernacles. And that's in Burton, Ohio, at the Berkshire Hills Community Room. And feel free to call for directions, 440-834-9006.
And Sheila, since we will be preempted by some pre-scheduled football games for the next 3 weeks, we should probably tell the listeners about some upcoming events to mark on their calendars.
Oh, good idea. In fact, the first thing that I should mention then is that the Women of Royalty are having a conference, their yearly conference, on November 6th and 7th. And I'm going to be speaking on the Friday night, November 6th, and it's at the Sanctuary Baptist Church, and that's 4004 East 131st off of Broadway in Cleveland. And I am told they are going to offer some sure-to-be comfort foods for the after-work crowd to meet and to greet.
Hey, that's nice.
And then the actual service will begin around 6:30. And I will be there teaching Hebraic roots and end time prophecy. And I'd love to meet some of you. If you come, say you heard me on the radio, I'd like to know who comes out and supports me. And it is open for anybody.
And it's open. That's the Sanctuary Baptist Church, 4004 East 131st.
Right. And if you miss that, go to my webpage and click on the radio podcast and you'll be able to hear
today, maybe. November 6th and 7th. Don't forget that. And one more Eastside event is the Lakeshore Assembly of God on Thursday, November 5th. Well, it sounds like you're going to be bouncing around a little bit here.
Well, this is the very east side.
The very east side. I see. Not that you would need a passport or anything, but if you missed this information as well, you can go to our website on shofarministries.net, replay the program, or just email or call Sheila as well.
Right. And then the following month, on December 6th, we both will be in Cleveland having a shofar night at the Oasis Fellowship Church at 11405 Bel Air Road. And that's Sunday, December 6th at 5 p.m. and you, church team. And I'd like to know if anybody would be interested in helping us distribute some flyers, you know, to areas in that area to let them know that we're coming. And since we won't be able to promote this again until we come back the first week in November,
right,
feel free to get a hold of me, 440-834-9006. I'll be glad to send you some flyers.
And I plan to come to Oasis Church tomorrow, and I will have some flyers with me.
That's right.
And I'm looking forward to meeting my friends there, Ray Lopez and Pastor Cirillo and Pastor Dorta. And I will have flyers there, too, but you can get more. Okay, now, since some live on the west side, it's too far of a drive out to Burton, and this is very convenient for you. It's located near I-90, I-71, as well as I-480. So you can get to it from either one of those big freeways. It is, of course, free. This is a free ministry, but we will be taking an offering to help keep our program, Shofar Ministries Hour, on the air. So it is sort of a fundraiser.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pay radio air time.
Yeah. They don't give it to us free, so.
Yeah. So, you know, if you like this unique teaching with the live open forum, please, we could use your help. Come out and support us. I'll be teaching on why Christians should recognize Hanukkah and the end times, as well as opening it up for your questions. And, of course, we will sing some great Messianic and fun worship songs. So bring your tambourines and your flags and your shofars.
And plan on being blessed. Okay, now, today is the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the seventh appointment of God, not yet totally fulfilled, and that is the topic of today's discussion. We will be opening up the phone lines later this hour should you have any questions about this feast or any end-time questions. We may have a little time, you know, we're rushing to... We're up against the clock this week, so we may not have the phone lines. They'll be open. We may or may not be able to get to your calls.
Right, and you know what? Yes. If we don't, please leave your question with Nick, and we'll make sure we answer it next time.
Absolutely. So let's continue teaching on the eighth day, the Feast of Tabernacles. Remember, spiritually, we have all the feasts fulfilled in our hearts, and because of Yeshua, because of Jesus, we spiritually have the kingdom of God dwelling inside of us, which is what Tabernacles really represents. And yes, today is the last day of Tabernacles, the 22nd day of the seventh month of Tishrei. And you'll find that in Leviticus 23. We're big Leviticus 23 people here.
Yeah. And I did read verses 39 through 43 last week. Again, go to my webpage, listen to it. There's a wealth of information on those CDs, and it's all free, okay? I encourage you to listen again to any of the other programs, but particularly last week's program. We talked about Jesus being born on the Feast of Tabernacles, the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, which would be the Tishrei 15th on a new moon, on a full moon.
Full moon, yes.
So after the Day of Atonement, which was the 10th of Tishrei, anyway, they would have 5 days then to get ready for this fantastic feast called Tabernacles, which again begins on the 15th of Tishrei and goes through the 22nd, which is 8 days. But they had 5 days to build and then live in a sukkah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a sukkah is?
A sukkah is a temporary dwelling or structure. It can be erected for animals, but and people as well. In the wilderness, the children of Israel lived in Sukkot or these structures. During the festival of Sukkot, these are actually built to resemble the old temporary structures they dwelt in the wilderness. And they don't have very good roofs. You're supposed to build them so you can see the stars at night through the roof.
And Nehemiah 8:15 gives a more detailed explanation on how to build those. And again, we talked about that last week. I don't want to take a lot of time because we want to get to the meat that's coming.
Yes.
We also said that it's called the Feast of Ingathering because it's a gala time when all the fruits, the produce of the field, the orchard, and the vineyard are gathered in, the granaries, the threshing floors, and the wine, and the olive presses. They're just full to capacity. And the tares are destroyed.
Oh, okay.
And then we talked about that, how Jesus talked about that, how that was the end of the age, when the enemy will be destroyed.
Oh.
So, a definite picture of
the sounds like
time.
A connection there to me.
A fog, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, the farmers' weeks and months of toil and sweat have finally been amply rewarded, and they're happy. The sowing farmer feels elated. No wonder Sukkot is also called the season of rejoicing and the season of joy. And it is fitting, and just like God, that Jesus would be born at this time. And it was verified by the angel's message of Luke chapter 2, where the angel says, "I bring you good tidings and great joy." This expression is used particularly during this season, and it was mandatory that they be happy.
Mm-hmm. It was a commandment to be happy.
That's right. In fact, tonight at Shofar, I have some pictures of how happy they were from when I was over there. So if you'd like to see them, come on out. Love to have you.
Yes.
But I also explained last time the ceremony called the House of the Water Pouring and how Jesus utilized this event to declare to the people, if you are thirsty, come to me and drink. Again, that's all on last week's tape. We also explained how it's called the Feast of Lights. And again, Jesus utilized that particular ceremony in John 8:12 to say, hey, I am the light of the world. But then Scripture also tells us that he would be wrapped in swaddling cloths. And this is a huge Hebraic roots teaching. And if you never learn anything else at all about Hebraic roots,
learn what a swaddling cloth is.
This will really open it up for you. Because in Luke 2:7,
it's not Huggies.
That's right. First of all, swaddling cloths are the priest's undergarments that were brought to the temple. During this feast, they would turn them in and they would get brand new ones. So it would be quite fitting for baby Jesus to be wrapped in priest garments at birth, because he is our priest. And again, we talked about how these cloths were used for the wicks in these
the discarded
candles.
Garments of the priest.
And they were 75-foot tall candles, and they lit up all of Jerusalem. Quite a festival, this Feast of Tabernacles.
Yes, and it is. It's still quite the festival.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense that Jesus would be born on the greater Feast of Lights. Now, John, we also talked about, if we count back the normal gestation time of a woman, 280 days, it brings you exactly to another Feast of Lights called the Lesser Feast of Lights.
Now, would that be Hanukkah?
That would be Hanukkah.
Okay.
So, I believe, and I'm sure of it, that he was incarnated on the Feast of Hanukkah and born on the Feast of Tabernacles. Incarnated on the Feast of Lights and born on the Feast of Lights. So fitting for the light of the world.
Right.
You know, and these are the details, people, I just wish you would try to get a joy in wanting to learn. Be excited about learning these things, because it really makes the Bible come alive. And you know, John, it's funny that your name is John, and I meant to say the Gospel of John, but the Gospel of John is told to every Christian to read when they first get saved.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. That's common. That's a common thing, yeah.
And yet everything that Jesus did surrounded one of the feasts. And yet, as a Christian, I was never explained why or what they meant.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's time. People, Christians, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
It's time to know these things. It's time to grow up. We've been drinking milk. A lot. The church as the body has been on milk for a long time.
I know. You know, I give this analogy because it sticks in my mind every time we talk about milk. But I was given the analogy one time. What if you had to go to a business meeting and they were all businessmen with suits and everything like that, and you were running a little late and you ran in, opened the door, and you saw all the businessmen sitting at their tables waiting for you, more or less. They hadn't started yet. But they were all drinking out of baby bottles. How ridiculous is that? And yet we've got Christians that have been Christians for a long time, and they're still drinking out of baby bottles.
That's true. And if you keep, if you start as a baby on the baby bottle and you get to be around 15 or 16, it's kind of cute, but
exactly.
You know, you're going to be undernourished by the time you hit your 30s.
Right.
And we're seeing a lot of undernourishment, and the results of it, when your body doesn't have nourishment, you don't have the strength to live
right.
your life like
you
it should
power.
Be. You don't have the power, strength to live your life like you're supposed to.
Right.
And it's the same with the word, folks. God gives us great analogies like that all throughout
right.
his word.
We really need
word.
To be strong to fight the enemy who yeah. is bombarding us, bombarding the church. And that's one of the reasons why the church today is lacking in discernment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have enough of the meat of the word to sustain them.
Yes.
So, and the last clue I want to give is, of course, in John 1:14, which is a huge clue also, with the terminology that John used in the very beginning of his book. And he says, the word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. Now, our English versions, unfortunately, change it to dwell, which
mm-hmm.
is too bad because the Greek word is tabernacled.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's a clue, a hint, hello, that he came during the Feast of Tabernacles. And, of course, the other well-known fact that shepherds don't have their flock out at night in December.
It can snow in Jerusalem in December, and it has. It's
now,
cold.
Does this mean that I think we shouldn't celebrate Christmas on December 25th?
Absolutely.
No, it doesn't.
That's
sneaky. No, I can't break tradition, and I wouldn't want to, you know, get people to say, oh, you don't want to talk to her because she doesn't even celebrate Christmas. That's immaterial. Every day is Christmas. But how nice it is to know that you could explain it to someone that although mm-hmm. this really isn't Christmas, I think it
That's
is in the
right.
fall, you'll have some educated.
Yes, you'll be educated, your loved ones, and letting them know that.
Intelligence.
Yes. And what does this mean? What is this all leading up to is what I think people, I want to know. Why is this so important to know that Jesus wasn't born on December 25th, but born on actually during the Feast of the Feast of Tabernacles? Now, how does that affect us?
Well, because everybody says, oh, the feasts are for the Jewish people.
Oh.
I believe the feasts are for Christians to
yep.
understand
yes.
how Jesus fulfilled them. Now, Feast of Tabernacles has only been halfway fulfilled. It's going to have a double fulfillment when he comes back and sets up his kingdom.
Okay.
And it's just good to know these things. And not only that, it stirs you up to want more. And that's going to get you in the Word. And that's going to give you the power. And it's all like a chain you know, link there.
Okay.
One go after another.
Okay, so it's important that we understand that this is a fulfillment of the feast. And
which is why it's also called the Feast of All Nations or Feast of All Peoples.
Because well,
nation
then,
just means people.
Aren't we all people?
That's right.
So that's a feast for us.
And it's a picture of the future mm-hmm. celebration of the Messianic Kingdom. King Solomon dedicated the first temple during Sukkot Tabernacles. Now, it wasn't finished during Tabernacles. It was actually finished like 11 months before that. But he waited to the Feast of Tabernacles to dedicate it. You can read about it in 1 Kings 3. Therefore, this festival is also called the Feast of Dedication. Well, there's another Feast of Dedication.
Mm-hmm.
And that is...
That's the one spoken of in John 10:22,
mm-hmm.
that actually Jesus observed this festival. It's called Hanukkah.
Right, and it says, in fact, Hanukkah means dedication.
Means dedication, yes.
So we see that in John 22 that he says it was time for the Feast of Dedication, and it was in the winter. Why?
Oh, yeah, it does say in the winter.
So
yeah.
People would understand.
Would understand it was Hanukkah and not Tabernacles.
Right.
And obviously the author, John, wanted you to understand.
Obviously.
So.
Amen. Well, we're going to take our break a little, few minutes early, so that when we come back, we can continue on without stopping.
Mm-hmm.
And people, if you're listening, you might want to get a pencil and paper, because we're going to
yeah.
get some into some real meat here.
Yeah, this is a note taker, and don't be scared, because we're going deep into the word, And don't be scared. Just come along with us. You'll be glad you did. If we have time at the end, the lines will be open for your questions, particularly on the end time eschatology or this particular feast. The phone numbers are 216-901-9033. I can't believe I flubbed that number. 216-901-0933. Or you can simply dial 888-677-WORD. Now, I'd like to add that Shofar Ministries is a non-denominational 501c3, and all your gifts are tax-deductible. And donations are really needed to stay on the air. And as our gift to you, a handmade cross for your wall or yard will be sent to you. Send your donation to P.O. Box 513 in Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513. And you may give through shofarministries.net on the Internet. And you can use PayPal as well. Perhaps you'd like to sponsor the show by advertising your company on Christian radio. You can reach Sheila for details by calling 440-834-9006. And now I would like to remind you about one of our faithful sponsors, Mullet Masonry. Mullet Masonry, they work with either brick, block, or stone. Their work is impeccable. It has earned them a great reputation. They service residential jobs like chimneys and restorations, which is kind of important this time of year, as well as the bigger commercial-type jobs. They're located in Geauga County, but will service any of the surrounding areas. They're experienced, and they do great work, and they're affordable, and they're nice folks to boot. So if you need a free estimate, just call Chad Mullet at 216-570-0177. That's 570-0177. And give them a try next time you need any facet of masonry work done. After all, Mullet Masonry helps to keep this show on the air. And be sure to tell Chad you heard about him right here on WHKW.
And I'd also like to thank Nicole Maroos, who is a sponsor also to this show, and very faithful, a local representative of the all-natural Arbonne Health and Beauty Products, who will give you a free consultation on proper maintenance of your particular skin type. Also, Nicole realizes if you've never tried Arbonne, you might not realize how great it is. So for a limited time, when you call her, she will send you a complimentary sample pack of Arbonne skincare products, because this is not just face makeup. It's about having healthy, glowing skin. So be sure to give Nicole a call at 440-840-2176. And remember, Arbonne is non-toxic, very important in these infectious days. So call 440-840-2176 and tell Nicole you heard about her on WHK.
Okay, and now the lines are now open for your questions, so stay with us. You are listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back after a short break and a nice song from Los Lobos today that I'm sure you will enjoy. So stay tuned.
Yep,
don't touch that dial.
The Cuyahoga County Department of Children and Family Services believe that every child needs a family, especially teenagers, yet there are hundreds that don't have one. Listen as this young lady shares her story.
I'm 23 years old and a college graduate. After I aged out of foster care, I thought, wow, I'm 18, I'm grown, I've been through a lot, and now I can finally make decisions for myself. What I didn't know is that I would no longer have anyone to depend on. I then went to college and lived on my own. However, shortly after, I then became homeless. If I'd known that I would have been homeless my first year of college, sleeping in my car with nowhere to go during holiday breaks, I would have been more acceptable of adoption.
Please contact the Cuyahoga County Department of Children and Family Services for more information on becoming a foster or an adoptive parent at 216-881-5775. That number again is 216-881-5775. What every child needs, family.
Hi, my name is Bob Wintermute. I'm from Concord, California. What I like most about Andy Willoughby's three-step plan is that financially we are making a decent living. My goal when we first started was for my wife to retire. Praise God, she retired January 31st of this year, and we were able to replace her income. And she's now home with me, and we work business together. Because of Andy Willoughby's three-step plan, we're able to live a life that we would not be able to if we didn't have that to work with. Our economy has gone up. I'm not afraid of today's economy because I've got this business, this plan behind me. It's amazing. It works. It helps in any way that you need to be what you want to be and have the funds to do it.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. Go to 3stepplan.com or call 800-895-6545. 800-895-6545.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That's a great song. Los Lobos doing that. Someday we'll see the face of our
Savior. Oh, I love that song.
Isn't that great?
That's sweet.
Like the saxophone part, too. And welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour.
You know, that's enough to go back and to my webpage and get the radio broadcast just to hear that music.
We're going to be now getting into some, like we say, the meat of the word, as opposed to the milk.
Yeah.
So I hope you, you know, I hope your teeth are in for people my age. I hope you're ready to do some chomping.
You don't have to say. I don't always know what you're going to come up with.
If not, I hope you're ready for some chomping, because this is going to be something we're going to have to think about.
Yes.
And yes,
it's going to be fun, but let's get into it.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, we're going to turn to Luke 1, and I'm going to read verses 5 through 17.
Okay.
And I hope that you out there that can, if you're not driving,
yeah,
will follow along. Okay, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, and he was of the division of Abijah. And I just want to stop here and say, you know, I've read that many, many times as a new Christian and went right flying past that.
Yeah.
You know, and that is probably a key.
You didn't even stop to look.
No.
You just, right by
that. That is probably the key to this whole thing that we're going to be talking about today, but we'll come back to that.
That's
okay?
Probably why John put it in there.
Right. Okay, so Zechariah's wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both religious before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, which we know from verse 5 is Abijah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're going to talk about today. Verse 9, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Now, we're not going to be covering that so much today, but it's interesting that that doesn't always happen to the priest, where he would be able to burn incense as well. So he's getting a double blessing here, but again, that's just a little extra. Verse 10, and the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And of course, we know incense is a picture of our prayers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fitting that they were all praying. Verse 11, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, who Zacharias, in the temple, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. I'd say that would happen to me also. But, verse 13, the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And I just want to mention that. Don't forget, this was before the church was born. So the Holy Spirit came and went as it chose. But John was going to be filled with the Holy Spirit all the time.
From being in the womb.
Yeah, that's exciting, because there was one prophet that we know of for sure that was filled all the time in the Old Testament. Do you know who that was, John?
I'm guessing it was Elijah.
It sure was.
Yeah.
So let's continue. Verse 16. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him, meaning the Lord, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Basically, Elijah was prophesied to come before the Messiah in Malachi 4:5.
That's right.
Now, John the Baptist is the forerunner in the same spirit as Elijah, because he too has the Holy Spirit. And he would be the forerunner of Jesus' coming as a servant to die for his people.
Yes.
And Elijah will be the one that comes when he comes as king.
Oh, okay.
You know, so that's the scripture that we want to read. Now, we must explain this Abijah thing, because this is what's going to tell us when Elizabeth would get pregnant, and we know that Elizabeth's son John was 6 months older than Jesus. So we can figure all this out, and it's kind of fun to do it. But in First Chronicles 24, we have the actual dividing of the priestly family of Aaron. You see, the division of the priestly tribe of Aaron's sons as priests in the temple were called courses, okay, or divisions, if you want to call it that. And I suppose you could call it any other name you want to, but it's divisions, and in the First Corinthians 24, it's called courses.
We would call it probably shifts.
Okay.
You know?
Turns.
Or turns, or you're going to take this, you know, that's just
right.
Your turn.
So they had to have 24, and I think it's interesting that Aaron had four descendants, four mm-hmm. sons. Two of them died early without any children at all. So somehow he's got to get 24. It's interesting that his other two sons, Eleazar had 16 sons, and Ithamar had 8 sons, which makes 24.
Makes 24.
Because you couldn't serve in the temple as a priest unless you were of the line from Aaron.
And that is the Levitical line. You had to be
line.
A Levite.
Right. So mm-hmm. 24 groups. Now let's turn to 1 Chronicles 24.
And, of course, we don't read First Chronicles a lot, especially not.
No, it's not one of my favorites.
Some people say it's a little dry, but this is some good information in here.
Well, it isn't for this particular thing that we're teaching, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
And we're not going to read the whole thing, but I want to point out to you that chapter 24 actually gives the divisions, their names, and what week they would be in the temple.
Ooh, well, that could come in helpful here. Well, yes, here they all are.
That's right. And each course would be named after the head of that particular family. So notice as we go through chapter 24, when you get to, well, let's just read, we'll start in 7. Now, please don't laugh at me when I say these names, okay? But this is telling you what family would serve each week from the religious calendar now that would be starting in Nisan. It says, now the first lot fell to Jehorib and the second to Jediah, the third to Harim, the fourth to Serom, the fifth to Malchijah, the sixth to Majayim.
How about
should have done this.
Miyamin, the seventh Hakoch, the
now,
eighth.
Now here we go.
The eighth
is to Abijah.
That's what mine says.
So what's happening here? At the beginning of the calendar, mm-hmm. the religious now, okay? We know that they had two calendars. So, and if you've missed some of my other shows, you might not know this. But now the calendar, the religious calendar, begins with Nisan. And at some show program later, we'll explain that in more details. But mm-hmm. we're starting in Nisan. So the eighth week would have been given to Zacharias.
Okay.
Now
what? There's
here's
another
something
thing
that I need to tell you. Mm-hmm. Each course served for 1 week in the first half of the year, and then they would serve for another week the second half of the year.
Mm-hmm. So they actually 2 weeks total, really, that you were obligated
right.
for.
So if you add 24 and 24 mm-hmm. for the first half and the second half, you come up to
48.
48.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's what's interesting. All the priests would serve in the temple during 3 times a year, and that would be for the 3 major feasts of Passover, mm-hmm. Pentecost, and Tabernacles.
And Tabernacles.
Okay.
Okay.
So when we count this, and John, you're going to look at this calendar.
Well, yes, I am, because I'm just going to check you out.
That's right.
So basically, they did their shift for 2 weeks of the year. Plus, they had another shift to do on the high holy days.
No, on all the feasts.
On the feasts.
Right, that
okay.
week.
So, if considering that, now, if you said this was the eighth course.
Right.
And we would start in Nisan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that would be the first, you would have 1 week in Nisan.
Go
right?
ahead.
Okay. And then, let's count them here. In Nisan, this is 5. that significant?
So we have the first week, the
second week.
The third week, they all served.
Oh, because that's Passover.
Because that's Passover.
Okay, so everybody's serving. So
now instead of 8, it'll be 9.
Okay, right.
So go to the next one.
Okay, the fourth week. There's the fifth week. The sixth week. The seventh week. And then the eighth week.
So then he would have been serving the next weekend.
Okay.
Or the next week. Okay.
All throughout that period of that week.
Now, what I'm trying to have people understand here is that the very following week is the feast of...
Ooh, it's Pentecost the next week.
Right, when they would all be serving. But what's interesting is that if we go back to Luke now...
Interesting.
We already know that the angel... told Zacharias that his wife Elizabeth, who was barren, would conceive.
Okay.
Right? Now, in verse 24, in your English Bibles, it says, "Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself for 5 months." Now, what's interesting is that the word "after those days" in Greek is metatauta, and the word means immediately after.
Oh, okay.
So doesn't it fit that she immediately conceived, which would have been probably the week during Pentecost?
Interesting.
Which, of course, for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit would be awesome.
This is
and that's just how God would do it. See, and that's the point. It's to understand the details that God cares about and has rearranged since the beginning of time.
Right.
For this particular thing to occur. Isn't it cool?
Now, you know that that the Gospels, and this is a proof to me that Luke's Gospel was definitely inspired by the Holy Spirit because of him including this information in it that we can, through his information, easily, well, not quite easily nowadays, but we can easily figure out the actual time of the conception of John the Baptist.
That's right. So his conception would have been during Pentecost, which means he would have been born at Passover.
Okay, because.
And he came in the spirit of Elijah, and it's interesting that during the Seder meal, they even put a cup out for Elijah.
Oh, okay.
But also, we know by verses 26 and 36 of Luke 1 that verse 26 says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth." Okay, so we know it was the sixth month after Zacharias was told that his wife would conceive. And then in verse 36, it says, when Mary came to visit Elizabeth, "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son, and this is now the sixth month for her."
Okay.
So what's interesting, I'm going to read verse 30 now, because we're talking about how Mary was told that she would conceive. And verse 30 says of Luke 1, "Then the angel said to her," talking to Mary, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest and the Lord God, and will give him the throne of his father David." So basically now we have, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Mary is told that she will conceive.
Okay.
Okay, now the sixth month from Pentecost comes to Hanukkah. Yeah.
Okay.
And if Jesus was born on the first day of Tabernacles, if you count back 280 days, you also come to the season of Hanukkah.
Interesting.
So we have a double confirmation there.
Wow.
So what is then the eighth day of Tabernacles, which would be the anniversary today? if he was born on the first day, what happens to all Jewish boys on the eighth day?
They get a bris. They get the circumcision.
The circumcision, mm-hmm. Okay. And isn't it interesting that every year on the Feast of Tabernacles, the first day and the last day is a special holy day where they were to do no work.
Mm-hmm.
Not only were they celebrating what they didn't understand would be the, you know, Jesus' circumcision, but they also called it Simchat Torah,
mm-hmm.
which is the celebration of the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's on that day that they finish reading the Torah in the synagogues, and they begin again next week.
Right. Right.
Okay. So rejoicing in the Torah is one of the biggest celebrations of the Feast of Tabernacles, because when I was there, they actually danced in the streets, almost everybody. And I went to this particular area where they were holding the Torah
mm-hmm.
on these big scrolls and holding them up and dancing and just being so happy that they have the Torah. But what's interesting is Jesus is the Torah.
Yes.
You know, so they're actually celebrating Jesus too. And someday they will all recognize that totally. So do you see, John, and did I make it as clear as I possibly can, that knowing when Zacharias was in the temple during his course, which
right.
would have been the ninth week from Nisan.
Right, because he had that week, because they all had to serve
Passover.
That Passover week.
So the following week would have been?
Mm-hmm. And the following week is Pentecost.
Pentecost. And he was filled with the
Holy Spirit.
And Luke says that she immediately conceived.
Yes.
Okay, metatata. And that when Mary was told that she would conceive, or be incarnated, was 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy.
Elizabeth was already 6 months along.
Correct.
Okay.
Which is during the season of Hanukkah.
Okay.
We know if we count back from Jesus' birth, we come to the season of Hanukkah also, which is the Lesser Feast of Lights.
Mm-hmm.
So he was incarnated
on the Lesser
Feast of Lights and born on the Greater Feast of Lights. It's really pretty simple. It's all there.
It's all there.
It can be figured out. And that's all I don't expect people to be able to really... Maybe they can if they go to my website and listen to it again and take some notes. Because it would be really nice if, especially if there's ministers out there that can maybe teach it to the people. Not that we're not out to change anything. I just want people to know that we can know these things by understanding our Hebraic roots.
That's right. Remember, we're the bride of Christ. The church is going to be his bride. And we're to love our bridegroom. And it's the old analogy of dating, you know. It's like you want to get to know the person you love. This is a way you can know your Savior, your Lord and Savior, on a more intimate level, is to study. Now, we haven't mentioned Hashanah Rabbah on the seventh day of Tabernacle, and that's the waving of the lulav, those branches.
That's right. I'm going to go really quick and try to explain this, okay? But the concluding ceremony on the seventh day of Sukkot, which is called Hashanah Rabbah, is called the waving of the lulav. Now, that is where each person would bring an etrog or a citron. And all this is a lemon that's bigger.
A bigger lemon.
A big lemon.
That smells
better. Over in the Middle East, I guess they must grow them pretty big over there.
Well, they smell better, too. They get a real nice fragrance, too.
Very sweet, too. I understand a little better than that. But this would serve as the fruit of the gut. Goodly trees, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because in Leviticus 23:40, I'm going to read what it says. God says, "And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days." So I'm sorry, I guess they do that every day then.
Oh. Well, I know that I know in the synagogues they wave.
Every day, or is it just the last
I think it's every day you're in the synagogue. I don't know if it's on the days that you're there. But it's certainly, you see the branches of the myrtle,
right.
You know, and the willow together along with the palm, and the palm's wrapped in a certain way, and it makes a real nice...
Right. Each is brought...
It's a bundle.
The branch of a palm,
mm-hmm.
myrtle, and the willow.
Yes.
Then the three branches are held in the right hand. Now, get a mental picture of this. The three branches are held in the right hand. the lemon or etrog is held upside down in the left hand. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then they bring both hands together, but turn the etrog upright. And then the entire lulav is then waved north, south, east, and west, and up and down. Spiritually, this represents a marriage. After we are turned right side up and turned to God, we then join ourselves to Israel. So the lemon or the etrog represents the believers in Christ who have joined the trees, which is the main root who produce the fruit. Actually, the date palm has no fragrance, but it does have fruit. The myrtle has no fruit, but it has fragrance. And the willow has no fruit or fragrance because this shows that they need all four. It's a picture of the body of Christ, different parts, but we're all needed. And it's pretty interesting that each item was found from diverse places all around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the willow was by the brooks, the myrtle primarily on the mountains, the date palms were in the valleys, and the citron or the etrog grew in the fertile valley of the lowlands. That represents the church. I love this. So basically, that's the Feast of Tabernacles. I'm glad that we were able to get it all in today. But for the fullness of this feast in the seventh month, we will experience the coming of the Messiah when he rules and reigns on earth during the last millennium, a time for joy for all believers.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's good. And it wasn't really that hard. We know that,
it was a little hard teaching it because I was so afraid that people wouldn't understand, so I hope I did well.
And if they didn't understand, and if you didn't get it this time, please go to shofarministries.net.
Yes.
And in a few days, that will be on there, and you can listen to it at your speed, whatever speed you want.
Amen to that.
Amen?
Amen.
Now, if you have any other questions, or if you'd like Sheila to speak at your church or home group, just email her at Sheila@shofarministries.net. This is a listener-supported radio broadcast, and if this show is a blessing to you, then your help is really needed to keep this show on the air. So, any and all donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please consider being a partner in this endeavor. Use PayPal or send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. All donations automatically will put you on the monthly newsletter, which is full of gold nuggets and current events of these last days here and in Israel. And why not check out the webpage? We have newsletters and previous radio shows archived there for you, thanks to Lou Buckles, who is very fair-priced and willing to help you with your own webpage. Let us know if you're interested, and we'll forward your number to him. And a great study for beginners, Hebraic Roots 101. Parts 1 and 2 available on Sheila's webpage as well as shofarministries.net.
I want to mention, too, that these Hebraic Roots 101 and Parts 1 and 2 are DVDs. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So they can actually see the teaching. I'm teaching at another church, so it's not just the audio like the radio shows are.
Right.
You know, and there's some good pictures, overhead, PowerPoint.
And you need that to learn. You need all that. It's better to have all those things when you're learning something.
Yes.
We wish you could see some of the stuff we talk about on the radio, but this is the way you can.
That's right. And it helps support the ministry and helps us stay on the air.
Yes, it does.
All right, let's
well,
do
okay,
Aaronic
let's we're going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing, and as we lift up our hands, lift up your hands with us as well. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai pana v'lecha v'ihunecha. Yisa Adonai pana v'lecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Until next week, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim, Psalm 122:6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper, not maybe.
And I just want to remind everyone, we won't be here for 3 weeks because of the preempted football games that were scheduled before we even started. So
thanks for reminding us.
Yeah.
Don't give up on us.
No.
We'll be back.
We'll see you the first Saturday in November.
Yes.
And give us a call. Get in touch with us.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford at the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the Internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.